Our first reading today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonment, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honour and dishonour, in ill repute and good repute, we are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known. As dying and see, we are alive. As punished and yet not killed. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing. As poor yet making many rich. As having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Jesus stills a storm. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
So Jesus and his disciples put out into a boat late one night. They have fished on the Sea of Galilee all their lives. They know its little quirks. They know its dangers. The Sea of Galilee is a very shallow lake, surrounded on every side by gentle sloping hills of Galilee. And storms can come up with great ferocity and little warning. But even though they know that that's true, Jesus said to them, "Let us go to the other side. Let us get away." Jesus was tired, filled with the cares of many a busy day. He's tired of the thronging crowds, tired enough to lie down in the back of the boat and fall into a deep sleep. Well, sure enough, during the night, a storm begins to rage, a violent storm, a life-threatening storm. Huge waves are about to swamp the boat. The disciples, understandably, are terrified. Yet Jesus sleeps on, seemingly indifferent to what's happening to them. Don't you care that we're perishing? They cry out to him. Don't you care that we might be drowned? Don't you care that we're about to be swamped by these raging seas? And Jesus wakes up. He stills the waves. And now the disciples are filled with a different kind of fear, a different kind of awe. Who is this? Who is this, they ponder? Who is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? It's interesting that both here and in chapter 6 in Mark, when again the disciples are crossing to the other side, a fierce storm arises. Now we need to understand the symbolism here. For the ancient Hebrew people, the sea itself was a symbol of chaos, a symbol of threat and danger. I love this story. I love this story because it speaks to us at so many different levels. It speaks to us personally, but it also speaks to us at a political and social level. Remembering that for the ancient Hebrews, the sea was a symbol of chaos and fear and threat and danger. The storm represents those forces that seek to stand in the way of the mission of Jesus and his disciples. It represents those forces that are trying to prevent reconciliation, inclusion and life. Here and in Mark chapter 6, the disciples are going to the other side. The other side were the people who were not part of the tribe of Israel. It was the Gentiles, those who were considered unclean, those who were considered outside of the sphere of faith. Here, Jesus is crossing the sea with the disciples to go to the other side. And in doing that, it's threatening all of the rules, the laws of their land, of the way in which they've lived their lives for thousands of years. And what happens? There's great opposition. There's great work against them. There are storms that rise up that threaten to drown them. Clearly, opposition to breaking down barriers, to the including of the excluded and the embrace of the other, could only come from within the religious community of which they were part. They were the ones who had theological or ideological objections. They were the ones who felt threatened by this new way of being, by this new openness, by this new inclusivity. Mark, in his gospel, describes that sort of opposition as destructive and chaotic. Mark proclaims that those forces that oppose inclusion and life are not of God. They are contrary to the purpose and intent of Jesus. And Jesus tells his disciples, let's go to the other side. It seems like such a throwaway line. It's been a busy day. Let's just get in the boat and go for a sail. Let's go to the other side. But like so many of these stories, there is another meaning for those with ears. In crossing to the other side of the lake, they were symbolically crossing over to the land beyond Israel, to a foreign territory. They were going into Gentile territory. They were venturing among the other with all the connotations that that might bring. For first century Hebrews, the Gentiles, the non-Hebrews, were unclean and perverse. They were deviants who were capable of anything. People that they were brought up to despise and avoid at all costs. But here, in our reading today, symbolically, Jesus asked his disciples and Mark's hearers and readers to accompany with him, to go across to the other side. And this, for me, is where the story really speaks into our politics and the way we live. In seeking to reach out, in seeking to include those who are excluded, to embrace those who are being treated as other. As they were doing that, they were doing the work of Jesus. As he was calling the disciples to go with him to the other side, he calls us as well. The story is not caught way back there in time, but it's part of our story as well, where we are called to stand with those who find themselves excluded, to walk alongside those who are broken and hurting, that society would reject. It demands of us something quite other than we would normally do. It means to be a place of welcome. It means to be a people who oppose those barriers that stop compassion and love from happening. But the story also reminds us that as we venture out on this journey of faith to the other side, we will face opposition, both within and outside of ourselves. We will face storms. We will face barrages of negativity. But what does this story say? To me, it says, take courage. Do not be afraid. Keep crossing to the other side, because that is what God in Jesus wants. And in so doing, we realise we're not alone. The voices of fear, of threat, of exclusion, division and hate will eventually be stilled. And the love and peace of Christ will reign. Of this we can be assured. It's interesting that they went into the boat quite confidently that they could go to the other side. They knew how to sail. Jesus could quite comfortably fall asleep in the boat knowing he was safe. But suddenly a storm comes up, and what do we go? Oh, we've got to wake Jesus. We've got to make him solve our problems. And so he brings peace and stillness, but then rebukes them because they didn't trust in their own abilities. They were sailors. They knew how to sail through a storm. And I wonder if the peace that came was much more about them working together, of combating what was chaos around them and sailing together across the lake, with Jesus telling them, you know what to do. You know how to sail through this. It wasn't about him taking away those troubles, but sailing with them, not coming back to the shore on their side, but still going on to the other side. And on a personal level, all of us know that we face many storms in our lives. We also see the storms that other people face in their lives. There are so many things that can swamp us. Illness, depression, unemployment, career disappointments, accidents. So many things that at times we wonder where God is. But we know that following Jesus, of being a Christian, of being a disciple, we know that doesn't guarantee that we will not suffer. Do you not care that we're perishing? We cry out to God. And then we're bewildered at the silence. We get the feeling that no one cares, that no one knows our despair, not even God. Is God asleep? Is God dead? Or just totally unconcerned by our condition? How often in ministry I hear people reflecting to me on the absence of God. How can you believe in God when you see the state of the world? The world population's exploding. The economy is a disaster. The environment is endangered through carelessness and waste. Our natural resources are being depleted. Millions are jobless. Millions more are starving. Terrorism threatens our way of life. There's wars, there's violence, there are stormy times. And God, where is God in all of this? And on a more personal level, I hear people say to me, how can I go on living when the person I most love has died? Well, why am I sick? Why is God doing this to me? I'm a good person. I live a good life. Why me? I've asked God to help me find a job. Why is it that I'm still looking? Why aren't things working out the way they should? So how do we individually and together face the storms in our lives? How do we weather the storms that come? For they do come and they will come. How do we weather the storms that threaten our society, that threaten to break us apart and cause us to separate, to live as though only I count? How do we sail through those storms? How do we sail through the storms that threaten the very heart of our being, that cause us to feel completely God-forsaken? Well, God does not promise to cancel out all the storms of our lives. What God does promise is to be with us as we face and endure the storms. God does not promise that we will never face difficult times, but God is there with us, strengthening us, preparing us. It might come through the care of others, through that listening ear, that gentle touch of understanding. It might come through the wisdom of a carer who helps to relieve our anxiety by reassuring us and helping us to find some normality in the midst of the storm. It comes as we work together, as we realise we're in this boat together, offering love and hope and inclusion and welcome to all, that as we set out on that journey in the boat, we are going to face storms of opposition. But Jesus is there with us, not necessarily taking the storm away, but showing us and reminding us that we know how to sail. We know how to share love and welcome and openness and inclusion. We know how to do those things. So let's unfurl the sails. Let's tighten the ropes. Let's work together as we seek to really make a difference, to sail to the other side, to share God's love with all. It's as we do that, as we sail together, that we find not only our own inner storms are stilled, but we bring peace and hope and love to our deeply troubled world.